All right. Hey, let me open us in prayer, and this will be about 30 minutes, give or take, and I hope it will go well. So actually, the link just went out, so this is not a video anyone's going to want to watch twice, I'll tell you that. It's such a funny start. So hey, let me pray. Father, would you be pleased this morning for us just to enjoy your word and a spirit of prayer, just affection for each other and for you. God, I pray this would be as natural as it can be. Maybe all the technology glitches actually make it rather natural. There's no performance here. We're just connected. I'm thankful for that. So Lord, bless our church family. Bless those who are watching. And I pray for my own household that even as we sit in this living room, that this wouldn't be different or awkward. We would just come together as your people on this Lord's Day to rest in you and in the righteousness of Jesus. Lord, go before us now. In Christ I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it looks like people are getting on. I'm really sorry for those delays, and I won't say it again. Let me just start this way. This is not obviously pre-recorded, and we didn't send it out to Facebook or anything like that to try to publicize it. I don't think that pre-recorded worship services are the best way to shepherd God's people on a Lord's Day like today when we're snowed in. I know churches do that, and I'm not throwing stones there, but I think there is something to be said for the fact that we've always conveyed that our worship is about not just spiritual expression, but it's spiritual formation. And so to just try to be together and help you worship God in your household, but also be formed in the process is the goal, right? So just didn't want to do nothing today, and also didn't want to give you something to watch passively from your home. That's not the heart of what we do at Christ Community. So wanted you to join in. So what I will do is about a 25, 30 minute devotion, and then I'm going to ask you to maybe do some things afterwards in your household. So if you're a head of household, if you're a parent, a husband, take 10 minutes after we're done to kind of do some of the things I've suggested that you do. And do it in your way, in your words. Do it in a way that allows you to be the spiritual leader that God's put you in the home to be. And that's not easy. Do it as naturally as you can. I will say, before I start reading scripture here, probably the most awkward household doing it this way should be my household. So I've got four family members sitting in the living room here, and I'm looking at the camera, not at them. But let my household be the only one that feels kind of different. May everybody else, where you are, just be together. So we'll proceed. And so I want to read to you from Psalm 51. This is just the first seven verses. So if you'll follow along or listen, these are the words of David. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." David says, "For I know my sin. My sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." David has messed up royally. This is a psalm that he wrote after his adultery with Bathsheba. This is a psalm he wrote after his murder of Uriah. This is the psalm that he wrote after the churning in his heart of the fact that there was nothing he could do to unsin, nothing he could do to fix what he'd done. And he asks God to wash him, to cover him white as snow. One of the things we talked about in our house last night was that snow brings a quiet. I don't know if you sensed that last night. I kind of sensed it yesterday morning before the snow even started really falling, or Friday, excuse me. I just knew. I was like, it's going to happen. This Colorado boy has felt these still mornings before where it doesn't look like it's coming yet because it was kind of bright. But I just know there's a stillness in the air, reminding me of my childhood. last night, as we made sure the chickens were safe and as we just kind of gathered the belongings from sledding and such, Corey just said, it's silent. What is it about the snow that just makes it so quiet, so filled with peace? And so that's what I wanted to talk to you about this morning, is just how much the gospel uses washing us white as snow, and just how much even the quiet of the peaceful snow day and snow night, we need to connect that to our faith. And the way I want to do it is I want to connect some dots. I want to look back in my own life a little bit, and I want to think about how you might connect this snow day to our sins being washed white as snow, to what we're studying in Galatians. And so that's one of the things I want to ask you to do if you're a head of household, a parent, husband, all of you that are tracking. Ask for God's help today to connect the dots for you between your life and this snowstorm and what the scriptures say about our cleansing. Like, can the dots be connected? And that's what I want you to talk about among your households after we're done here in a bit. And so let me go back a little bit. It was 2023 that I took the first half of a summer sabbatical, a seven-year sabbatical. And the last Sunday before I left, I preached from Hebrews 4, but also Psalm 95 is embedded in Hebrews 4, and it was about rest. And ultimately, the way the scriptures describe that there's a rest that remains for the people of God, and we should strive to enter his rest, just like he rested from his work at the end of his 6 days of creation. So we should strive to be a people of rest. And what the author of Hebrews does, if you recall that, is the author of Hebrews goes back to Psalm 95, where it describes the people of God wandering through the wilderness. And he says, essentially in Psalm 95, the psalmist writes and says, though they'd seen my work, they did not know my ways. And so I told them, you're not going to enter my rest. And so the people that wandered the wilderness, they had a very restless life. They didn't feel a lot of peace, not a lot of quiet. And when they rebelled against God in their heart because they wanted him to change their circumstances and make it different, he says, you act like you don't even know that I'm the God of your rescue. I'm the God of your rest. And so you're not going to get to experience that promised land. And so then in the New Testament, of course, we spent a long time in Hebrews. The Bible says Jesus is the one through whom a better rest is given, a true rest. And as Corey commented last night about the quiet and the still, and I don't know about your house, as we kind of had a day where everything had to be canceled, you know, there was no grocery store trips. I had to get my truck unstuck because it started sliding down our hill, but that was a little bit of work. But it was a day of nothing in our household. But here's what I'm wrestling with. Was it actually restful? Like, snow day or no snow day, what kind of rest and peace and quiet in our soul does God tell us we can have access to right now? And it doesn't matter if you're on a vacation at the beach, or if you're in the middle of your busiest work week, or if you're going through sickness, as I know some of your households are, or if you're having the most grand snow day in the history of man. Do any of those circumstances either provide rest or take from rest if it's the rest that's promised us in the gospel? So we started Galatians about a month ago. And what I want to do in connecting the dots is to think that the actual rest that you and I all really deeply want is righteousness rest. Like just knowing that we don't have to work to fix the things that are not right. And if you connect the dots in your life, and I want to connect the dots in my life, how many times have I done something like take a trip to Colorado to go camping and by myself in the woods, or to take a run, or whatever I might choose to do? You're different than I am. What happens if you do those things to provide the rest you need from the chaos of life if you're not, or I'm not, understanding the righteousness that's been given to us by grace through faith in Jesus alone and not by anything we can do? Because what happens is the rest we wish we could experience, we don't have rest if we still feel in our heart guilt or shame or anger or I need to fix this or people better make this day a day of rest because I'm tired. There's no circumstance on earth, snow days included, that can actually give the heart of man the rest we want if we don't find our righteousness by faith in Jesus alone. So that's where Galatians connects to Hebrews. And what I was going to be preaching on, which I'll still preach on next Sunday, and all the songs we were going to sing today, we'll sing next week, and all the prayers and the readings we'll do next week. But in Galatians chapter 2, one of the things that Paul is going to say, he'll be very clear. It's probably one of the most profound parts of Galatians, so kind of hold your breath till next Sunday. But what he says is, he says, I know that a person is not justified or not declared righteous by works of the law, but only through faith in Jesus. So we who have believed in Jesus, in order to be justified by faith, not by works of the law, because by works of the law will no one be made righteous. So the whole gospel is that if you need to work to create your own righteousness as rest, you'll never get there. Which is why if a snow day hits and our hearts are angry and we're trying to fix it, our hearts are demanding that other people do what we need them to do so we can be more rested, it will never come. Because what we're doing is we're saying, if I work in these ways, I can rest. If I get others to work in these ways, there can be rest. If I can just get better at the thing I'm not good at, I can rest. If I can have other people just perform a little more helpfully in what I need them to do, then I can get rest. And the gospel is, no, actually, you won't rest at all. What you'll have is a snow day with the same sort of unrest as your work day brings. You'll have a day at home with your family, and it could have all the makings of rest and peace, but unless you understand, all of you understand in your household, that we're only able to rest in the righteousness of Jesus to have peace, then you won't have peace even when all the circumstances align. So it's a little bit muddled, I guess, in my mind. But my heart this morning didn't want to perform, didn't want to have a planned devotion that's so dense that it's like I'm reading a sermon manuscript. But it did want me to ask you to think in your house, have you been experiencing rest on the snow day that is in the righteousness of Jesus, as opposed to in the fact that the calendar just kind of stopped for us? If you say, well, yeah, actually, I have experienced some measure of slowing down and resting, then I want to encourage you to connect the dots for someone in your household. I want you to share with them where your real peace comes from. It's not just because white stuff covers the earth. It's because our hearts have been washed white as snow. And when the snow melts and gets really muddy, and right now all of our chicken poop is frozen so it doesn't smell, but they're all inside the house together. Do you know how nasty it's about to be in 48 to 72 hours? It won't feel at all like the peace of white as snow. But if any rest in the soul of a Christian is ultimately connected to what God is doing to redeem this world through Jesus, then there's no fear of the kind of work we have to do in life, the chores around the house we have to do, the challenges of somebody else's immaturity, the challenge of our weakness and immaturity, because we're finding our peace not in the circumstances around us. We're finding our peace in the righteousness of Jesus. So what we looked at last week, if you were at church on Sunday, was how Paul challenged Peter for not walking in step with the gospel. He was aggravated, right? He said, Peter should have known better. He treated the Gentiles like they were second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. He said he wasn't walking in step with the gospel. And what we mentioned in the sermon time was that Peter had some other passions ruling him inside of him. And those other passions were causing him to act contrary to the righteousness of Jesus that saves sinners who repent and believe the gospel. And he was making it so the Gentiles just had to do a few other things in his mind, and he would be more satisfied to stay sitting at their table. And at the very end of my sermon, I started to describe ruling passions as the things that can often be contrary to what we actually say we believe, but which control us. They rule us. In Peter's case, chapter 2, verse 12 says it was fear. He was afraid of what others would think of him. And so he didn't have peace. There was no quiet in his soul. Think of snow day quiet. There was no rest. Truth is, if that entourage from Jerusalem had never come to check on the church and Peter hadn't seen them, there was still something off in his understanding of what makes people righteous in God's sight. Which means at some point it was going to come out that he actually was not fully grasping the gospel for his quietness, his rest, his peace, and for the quietness and rest and peace of the Galatian Christians, the Antioch Christians that he was with. So I want you to go back to that question at the end of last week. When you struggle to walk in step with the gospel, when you don't feel quiet in your soul, what are some of the passions that surface that need to be washed white as snow, that need the gospel of Jesus to cover them? I don't know what they are. I think sometimes it's fear for some. Sometimes it's a lot of anger, of just so much disappointment that this world has not given you what it owed you, therefore others better shape up so that you can experience more peace than you're knowing. Or sometimes it's just shame and guilt. Like, I've just messed up so much that no matter how peaceful the day looks, I still have to deal with myself and what I can't stand of what is true about me. I don't know what it is for you. But the gospel promised it from the very beginning is that though our sins are scarlet, they will be washed white as snow. That's Isaiah chapter 1. Psalm 51 verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. If you connect the dots between a snow day and the thought of rest and quietness from Hebrews and the righteousness that comes by faith in Galatians, and you were today to take 10 minutes to meditate on it and then talk to your household or a friend, what would you tell them? Where are their ruling passions that keep you from experiencing the quiet peace in your soul that your sins are forgiven and Jesus is your righteousness? So that's my challenge to you this morning, is do that with some buddies or somebody. Spouses, talk to each other. Here's where I know I'm not at peace and I don't even find peace on a snow day if I don't have God wash that part of me, if I don't understand the fullness of what he's covered. Just tell somebody so that you can have another brother, sister, who's a family member or just a friend pray for you, know you better. Parents, talk to your kids today. I don't know if your household's the same as mine, but these days are awesome when all of us are kind of just stuck here and hunkered down, but they are very stressful also. It's just stressful. Time you go out to go sledding, one person wants to come in because their fingers are frozen. The next group is just going out and somebody makes a comment about how you were supposed to wait on me. And then inside the house, there's water and snow everywhere and it's getting on the hardwood floors. And it can often feel like this isn't as peaceful as I thought it would be. So talk to each other about it. What can bring peace? It cannot come from all of us working hard to have a great Sunday snow day. It can only come by believing that Jesus is our righteousness before God. And that when we see somebody else's stress or struggle or ruling passion, we can be gracious because we understand that we've needed the same washing of the blood of Jesus to make us white as snow, so we can be gracious and forgive and walk alongside them in their stress. I didn't write a lot of notes. And I didn't want this to feel like a performance. I just want to make a plea to you that God's been doing a good work at Christ Community by gathering more and more folks. But I think the greater work that he's doing is he's continuing to have our church body be intergenerational. Families with children, single adults, college kids, empty nesters, all coming together from different parts of the Tri-Cities. And it is just incumbent upon us that we will all believe that rest and peace come in the same way, only through the righteousness of Jesus. And that when we see any of us burdened by some form of oppression of our performance or somebody else's performance or the stinking circumstances of this world, that we have brothers and sisters who will say, pause, stop, rest, let's be quiet, like a snow night, and be thankful that God has promised to receive us as righteous in his sight, even in the midst of what we know isn't right. Let me give two illustrations and I'll close, because I want to make sure I show what I mean when I say connect the dots. I don't even know if Corey knows this, but this week I was asked to turn in two different outlines for my next preaching workshop that I'll be doing in March. And I sent the first one off and just thankfully got really positive feedback. So I'm sending it off to those who trust me to go to Calgary, Alberta, Canada, March. And they said, Jim, this is really good work. And for a moment, I'm tempted to think that all is at peace and at rest because I did a good job. 3 days later, on Friday, before I came home because of the snow, I scurried off and sent my second outline to them. And it did not receive the same comments. In fact, it was almost like, Jim, did you even understand the assignment? Your examples are they're not as helpful as they need to be. In fact, when you're preaching on Ecclesiastes, wisdom literature is very unique, and you need to put some more time into this. You need to think about these illustrations, and I don't know if the passages that you chose to teach from are going to really help these other preachers understand the challenge of using context in wisdom literature. I got that email Friday night. I was angry. I don't have time for this. I'm busy. There's a lot of stuff going on at Christ Community. I just want you to tell me it's good enough. Or I was embarrassed because I knew that I hadn't taken the time it needed. I knew it. I tried to cut some corners. I used an old outline. I just kind of threw some text in and sent it off and said, here, how's this look? So I was either mad or I was kind of ashamed and embarrassed that I can do better work and I knew it. All right, so take those two scenarios about 3 days apart. Did I really feel more peace when I worked well and did well? Did I really feel less peace because I did less? Or can I take those two things and say, God, I want the quiet of a snow night in my soul, and it will never come just by doing my performance well, and it will never come just by being angry at myself, ashamed of myself, and trying to fix what I didn't do right. There's not peace in either of those. Not for a Christian. Those are outlets for us to try to serve the church or to serve those in our lives. The only peace that we actually can lean into, whether we do well or not well, is that God would be gracious to save us in Jesus. And we can't earn it. We can't lose it. Not if we're dependent on it. So even on this snow day, I hadn't even told my own wife that. I've been wandering around going, oh man, I got to fix that outline. I got to work on it next week. I want to be more complimentable next time I send an outline off. That won't bring peace. If you're a Christian and you're part of Christ Community Church, it is our plea as elders, pastors, that you will find peace and quiet and rest in the righteousness that God has given to you by faith alone and Jesus alone. Whether you're having a good day or a bad day, a snow day or a sick day, you just grow increasingly grateful that what you haven't deserved is what you're going to receive, which is a celebration of righteousness when Jesus comes down to this earth to make all things right. That you've been seen as God in God's sight as perfectly righteous. So that's my prayer, is that today you will connect the dots for someone in your family. And you just say, hey, yesterday when I was so upset, or yesterday when I was so happy, I found it in my circumstances and I wasn't thinking twice like I should have about the meaning of the gospel that's given us peace. So share those things. Try to help each other process those things. And at the end of the day, it is our hope that when we come back together to worship next Lord's Day in person, we've just been a bit more dependent on the peace and the quiet and the rest that comes from the righteousness of Jesus. So I don't know how to sign off. It's really weird when there's nobody that I can see on the other side of this thing. After we end this call, read Psalm 51, 1-7 again. Talk to people in your household to connect the dots to how a snowstorm, a rest day, and the promise of a righteousness rest in the gospel all connect in your soul, and talk about it. That's it. And I look forward to seeing you next Lord's Day in worship, if not before. All right. Thank you to AJ and Jonathan Evenden and everybody reaching out trying to fix this Luddite's technology problems. And thanks for sticking to it and waiting an extra 30 minutes to do this. All right. Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace and his rest through Jesus. Amen.